All right. What book of the Bible do we find the I Ams? The Gospel of John. You can go to John chapter 11.
Excuse me, John chapter 10 and verse 11. John chapter 10 and verse 11 is where we're going to be at this morning, learning about the Good Shepherd. Jesus has completed us. God has completed us through Jesus, and he's given to us the Good Shepherd. It wasn't many verses before that the good, I am the door was given, and it had a lot to do with the shepherds, the sheep, the fold. We learned about the door, and this morning we're going to learn about Jesus saying, I am the Good Shepherd. I'm going to ask you a question about leadership. Leadership in your lives, maybe you are leadership in some ways. You, of course, probably every one of you had some sort of leadership position at some point in time. But I want to ask you about leadership. What's important with leadership? Let me direct your thoughts just a little bit more with leadership. As you look at good leadership, and I'm sure that you've had some, if I could say lightly, bad leadership. Maybe different people in your life that have been a boss or some sort of leadership that didn't lead, maybe in a very good way, and maybe some of you are already getting thoughts in your mind of some of those good ones, some of those bad ones. Be careful with that just a little bit. But anyway, thinking through leadership, there are certain things that make some good leaders. And I would say, you know, in the area of care and maybe harshness. Obviously, none of us like harshness. So maybe there would be some that want to get the job done, and they care about maybe the structure, the rules, and everything. You got individuals. Maybe you've had different ones leadership over you that, you know, in a certain way, they had good leadership skills in the fact that they knew how to get work done. They knew how to maximize everything. They were very strict and harsh with what they were very disciplined with what they did. And in that case of productivity, maybe they were a good leader in that way. Then there are others who maybe they're not as productive, maybe they're not as, you know, shrewd in their business, and yet they, you know, that their skill and quality leadership was in their care for their workers. They were very personal with you. They cared about what you were going through. They cared about what you were going through at work. They cared to that you were taken care of. Now you're thinking about these two different sides, and there's a place for either one. But as a worker underneath that one, I think probably one of them stands out in our minds as one. Again, we're not talking about from a business model standpoint. We're talking about to work under that. I think probably most of us, if we're not just thinking about productivity and the business taking off, we're thinking that it's nice to work for and be under somebody that cares for us, that cares about what we're going through. You know, in a sense, there are a couple different types of parents that are out there. Some of you have been parents, and you can think through what kind of a parent you were. There are parents that are out there that are very tight, that are very strict, this is the way we're going to do it, and we're not going to budge, we're not going to bend, this is the way things are, and you need to comply, or else. You've had, maybe you've been a parent that way, maybe you had parents that were that way. And in some cases, those parents, you know, are very sincere about how they want to raise their family, and they're well-meaning in what they're doing. And yet there are other parents that their approach was a little bit on the other side, where they wanted to be, they wanted to make sure and establish a relationship and fellowship with those children, those young ones that were underneath them, and they wanted to show them that they cared. Now, I will say this, either side of things, any side of the pendulum is going to be too far. You understand that? You can be too strict and too, you know, forceful in a certain way. And I can say this, you can also be too much on the side that, you know, some parents these days just want to be a friend with their child. And there's nothing wrong with being a friend, but there's no leadership. They're not going to say anything. They're not going to make them do anything. Whatever you want to do goes. And obviously either side has its problems. We're not trying to deal with either side of these things today. But I think the point that I'm trying to make with this opening thing is, is parents that are well-balanced, but parents certainly that make sure that they present their love and their care are going to accomplish much more than just the truth side of things. I've heard preaching in this area of parenting before that says this, that it's not the strictness that pushes kids away, it's strictness without love. Okay? It's not strictness, you know, it's not like tight, we're gonna, in a sense, Jesus was strict with his leading. He said, we need to follow truth. But Jesus had love when he did it. And that's the point. And this morning, we're going to focus and capitalize on the love part of it and the care, the good shepherd. If I were to take an individual in my life that demonstrated this the greatest, would be my dad. My dad certainly had qualities about him that there might be some other dads that maybe would say, boy, you know, maybe there was a stronger leader in a certain way. Maybe there are dads that maybe did a better job than my dad at getting the job done and saying, kids, we're not going to do this and we're going to do this. You know, honestly, if my dad, and if my dad listens to this, Dad, I love you. But if my dad erred in a certain way, I would say that my dad wasn't very strict with a lot of things. I would say, you know, in a sense, was he a little bit loose with things? I don't know. How can I know? You know, what he did, I appreciate. But I'll tell you where my dad shined was his care. My dad cared. I remember telling an individual this in college one time, and they didn't believe me. They thought I was lying, and they would not believe me. I honestly don't know that I ever had some sort of an issue with my dad that he got angry at me or he had to be very forceful with me. I never, ever, ever remember that. Never. Now again, I'm not saying that there's not times that we need to be forceful, but I never remember my dad being that way with me. Never. But I can tell you one thing, I always, always knew that my dad cared for me, always. That made a major impact in my life. You say, well, don't you as a dad need to be, you know, as a parent, don't we need to lay down the law and do things? Well, there might be a time when we need to share the truth. And we need to be that way because, again, it's a good balance. But I'll tell you the inside of what got me. You know, as we grow older and as we're, you know, as I was in the home for many, many years, and then, of course, it came time for me to leave, I will say this. There were times when I tested the waters with my life. You know, as I left high school and I went to college, and I went to a Bible college, a decent Bible college. I went there that preached the gospel, taught the gospel, and we learned the ways of the Lord, and we learned doctrine, and we learned what we teach here. A lot of good things that I was there. But when I was there, I was introduced to a lifestyle, Christian lifestyles that I wasn't used to. A lot more freedom, a lot more liberties doing this. Learned a lot of other Christians, did some things differently. And I would say that the way my parents raised me, and they did a great job, I was tested when I went out because I thought, wait a second, there's a lot of other ways that Christians live. Some weren't raised in the same things that I had, and I was tested to expand the way I had lived and thought, wow, there's a whole lot more out here than what I knew, you know, what my parents told me. And I've already told you this before, I dabbled in different things, and it was a dangerous time in my life. And by the way, young people, it doesn't mean, well, pastor said he did it, boy, and he survived. I'll tell you what, it was only by God's grace that I did. Did you hear that? It was only because of God's grace. It's never wise to dabble with the world because it is destructive. And it's only because of God's grace that he, if I can say, use this term, he saved me and rescued me from exposure to other things. But there was a time when I did that, and you say, where are you going with this? I'm coming back to my dad. You know, it was interesting because when I was away from home, I felt, you know, there's a sense of freedom that you get. And And I think that that can be a good thing, but it can be a very dangerous thing as well. I felt like, mom and dad aren't here. I can make my own decision now, and I can do this. And I probably made some wrong, I know I made some wrong decisions, made some foolish decisions. But there were many things in my life when I was contemplating going this direction or staying where I had been raised. You know who came to my mind? It was my dad. You say, you were waiting for your dad because if he found out, he was going to ground you. If you found out, he was gonna take away the money that he sends you every month or whatever. He's gonna get upset with you on the phone. You know, I was 2,000 miles away from my parents. What was it that I feared? Because I did fear. What was it that I was afraid of doing that? And Dad wouldn't have ever, well, that's what kids think. Dad will never find out, right? But in a sense, Dad would never find out if I would have gone this way. It wasn't that my dad, when I got home, was going to correct me. It wasn't that my dad was going to call me up and tell me that I had been a bad boy. It wasn't that my dad was going to take away my money or stop helping me with college or that dad was going to... No. What would continue to play over in my mind was I'd break my dad's heart because my dad loved me. My dad cared for me. Now, why do I share that? The message today isn't about my dad. There's a significance with a good shepherd. The good shepherd, you're looking at John chapter 10 and verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The word good is an interesting word. We use good, it's a very general word. It's a very big word, a broad word, good. What is good? This word in the Greek is kalos. That word means lovely. It means beautiful. Not so much in, the facial features or, the bodily features. This beautiful was the good character, the good personality, the beautiful demeanor that this person comes across with. They are they are a lovely person. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily physically a beautiful person. They're a lovely person. You know that means maybe for a lady that's a sweet lady. Maybe they're a humble person. Maybe they're a generous person. In this case, with Christ, he's a kind person. The kind of an individual that you want to be around because they're going to be positive with you. They're going to be a help to you. They're going to be an encouragement to you. They are going to maybe be disappointed with you, but through their disappointment, you're going to see their love. They are a good person. You see, that's kind of the individual that I look at my dad. My dad's a quiet dad. My dad was... in some would say passive in a lot of ways, but he led with his love, he led with his leadership. Now, for those of you out here that you're raising children, I want to tell you there needs to be a good balance. Okay, you can't just love your children to doing right. There needs to be some structure and there needs to be truth. Again, Jesus' balance was love and truth, mercy and truth, was married together. And so we need both. We're examining the love side of things this morning, okay? The goodness. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now with that, we see that there's another side of good. Good as opposed to what? Evil, right? Good as opposed to evil. And it's interesting, there could be kind of a play on words. You have good and evil, and there's nothing in the English language. But there's an opposite side of the good word here, kalos, and that would be another Greek word that is kakos, okay? K-A-K-O-S in English. And that word is more of an evil. You see, with a good shepherd, he distinguishes himself as good as opposed to those bad shepherds that were out there. Were there bad shepherds? There certainly were. But before we get to the bad shepherds, I want to look at an example of the good shepherds. Well, it's Christmas time, a perfect time to look at the shepherds. The shepherds. Who were the shepherds? Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2. And I want to see a few things about the shepherds that were there. I specifically designed these last two I Ams for the Christmas season. Well, today we're looking at the Good Shepherd and looking at shepherds for a little bit. And then next week we're going to be looking at the last one that we haven't looked at, and that is the light of the world. And so we'll be doing that next Sunday morning. But the Good Shepherd, go to Luke chapter 2, and let's go ahead and look at start with verse 8. And I want you to see a few elements about a shepherd. Okay, so go to Luke chapter 2, and once you get there, then look up this way. And I want us to examine and think about a shepherd just for a moment. No, I'm not talking about his responsibility so much with the sheep. I want you to think about the shepherds even in the Christmas story. We talk about manger scenes. We even have a little bit of a manger scene here. And yet there are no shepherds there. Certainly the shepherds take a second place to the theme of the manger scene, right? Most manger scenes would have some shepherds that are there, maybe some angels, but the shepherds certainly are not what everybody's looking at. The shepherds are behind the scenes, and certainly a shepherd in the time of these Jewish people were people that were behind the scenes. They weren't the limelight. They weren't looked at. A shepherd's job wasn't the greatest job, but the shepherds, you know, as we look at them, not much has been given about the shepherds. I have shared some things about the shepherds and how they were, you know, some of the first messengers that were there as they went and saw the baby Jesus. They went out and proclaimed the truth. There's a lot of interesting things about the shepherds. But I want us to look at a couple things from just Luke chapter 2 that help us to see what a good shepherd is like so that we can accentuate the good shepherd. When he said, because again, for Jesus to tell you that he's a good shepherd means a whole lot different than for John to tell these people Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. Because we don't understand shepherds quite like they understood shepherds. Luke chapter 2, and let's start with verse 8. Hear the narrative about the shepherds. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now there's more about the shepherds in this passage, but there are three things in that verse that tell us about a good shepherd, honestly. Notice, and they were in the same country, shepherds. What's the next word? Shepherds, and what were they doing? They were abiding. Now, I'm not pulling these things. I wanted to find some interesting things about these shepherds, and I started to look up some words. The word abiding is interesting. To abide, I think you understand, means to live at a certain place, to dwell. But abiding, honestly, I thought there has to be more. I looked up the Greek word that is used here, abiding, and I was really surprised because abiding has something very, very specific to do with shepherding. You know, we could say that, you know, I abide. For me, I abide at 6007 Colebrook Road in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. That's where I abide. That's where I stay. But that word, that English word abide, doesn't quite fulfill this word here. This word, very specifically, is to live in the fields. I was looking a little bit. I'm not skilled at etymology, but I like it. I like to pick words apart and to see where they came from. Not so much the what country they came for and what generation that way, but I like to pick words apart and to see what this part, you know, the prefix, and then you got your root, and then you got your suffix. Where did they come from? When you look at this word, abiding, there's a part of it that has a natural side of things. outside. There's some that has to do with the outside landscape and nature. There's part of it that has to do with the animal world. But it's abiding on the outside. It's to live very specifically in the fields, if I could say. There's a part of that word that's of the field out there. To abide. To live in the fields. To be under the open sky. That's the focus of this word. They were abiding. And in context, it shows they were abiding in the fields. So it just wasn't the place that they called home. This was where they abode. They were people. If I could say this, Pastor Dan says on Saturdays when we go out soul winning, he says the street people, okay? These people were field people. That's where they abode. That was their life, was to be out there. They were to be under the open sky. And if I could say, and we're going to look at this word here in just a moment, but even at night, they didn't go in at night. That's where they abode. They spent the night out there. Their field was their home. They were there for a purpose. That shepherd was a good shepherd because that's where he stayed. This was his life, even at night. There's another word that I want you to see. We see that these shepherds were there abiding in the field. And then we get to the next word, keeping. Keeping. Now, the context, again, helps us with the word keeping watch. That helps us to define the word. But even there, the word keeping by itself is to keep or to guard, to watch. So, keeping guard by watching their flock or guarding their flock by night. The word to keep or to watch, to guard, to protect from being taken or to suffer violence. These shepherds were out there abiding. They were living. They were spending all their time out there in the field. And one of their purposes was to keep, was to guard. They were there to protect. They were there to sacrifice themselves so that there would be no suffering, there would be no violence that would come to these sheep that they cared for. So these shepherds were there abiding. They were there living in the fields. They were sold out to this cause. Even at night, there wasn't a time when they left. They were there keeping, guarding, protecting so that no violence would come to these sheep. And then the third word, keeping watch over their flock. When? By night. Now, obviously, these sheep needed probably some sort of keeping and watching during the day, but it wasn't so important. What's the significance of the night? You know, I looked up this word as well, the night. And of course, there's a time frame. But very specifically, as opposed to just the night when it's time to go to bed and sleep, this word is a little bit different than just the time to go to sleep. It's the time when work ceases and the time to sin and shame starts. Interesting in my findings there. It's not just the time to go to sleep. You know, we look at, oh, it's nighttime, kids, it's time to go to bed. Why? Because it's nighttime. It's more than that. It's nighttime. Work is done. And that's a little bit of a dangerous time when work is done. It doesn't mean that we always have to work. But when work is done, then they, you know, in Exodus, they rose up to play. And it was a dangerous time. And the nighttime, I think we would all understand the nighttime is a dangerous time, isn't it? It's a dangerous time. Why is the nighttime a dangerous time? I'm not even talking about shepherding. The nighttime is dangerous because we have a false sense of darkness, right? It's the time where we're not seen by everybody. It's the time when only certain people come out. It's the time when certain actions are done. There's a dangerous time at night. Certainly with the shepherds and the sheep, the nighttime was a danger because this was a time when the wild animals, the wolves, would be out. This was a time. And why? Because you can't see them. You couldn't see the wolf coming. It was a time when they would use it to be, you know, nocturnal, and they were going to come in and do their evil deeds because nobody could see them. It was a time that the robbers would use to come and steal the sheep, because during the day you could see them, and that you know you would just identify them right away. But at night, they could come in and they could sneak up, and you wouldn't know that they were there. It was a time when the storms, a lot of times, yes, we get storms during the day, but a storm at night is another issue. It's kind of amazing. Some of my children, and every one of them went through it. You know, when they're young, a storm comes, and they get a little bit afraid, you know, of the thunder and the lightning and all this stuff. But I tell you what, we never really had many issues when a storm came through the day. In fact, when the storm was through the day, I was more the one scared because I'm watching it and I'm thinking about my gutters. I'm thinking about, you know, the leaks and the this and the that. But the kids were never, I never remember any of my kids really being scared of the storms when it was through the day. But there's another element when they came at night. And isn't that when most of the damaging storms seem to come? It's at nighttime. At nighttime, when you can't see everything that's going down. This is the time that the trees come down and all this and things break and all this. It's that nighttime when you can't see it, you can hear it, and you can feel it, but there's a lot of bad things coming on. This is the time at night. These shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. The time when there was danger. That's what these shepherds were doing. All right, now go back to John chapter 10. So we see the example of these shepherds, and I want to tell you something. I know that during Christmas, the shepherds don't get very much attention, and rightly so, because Jesus is the one that gets the attention. But I want to tell you something. The shepherds have a significant part because they give to us a picture of who Jesus is. Jesus, the baby in the manger, would come up and turn around and point to those shepherds and say, let me use these individuals as somebody to tell you more about me, because I'm not just the normal shepherd, I'm a good shepherd. And it's not just a good shepherd, I am the. There's an article there that says, I am the good shepherd. He was the good shepherd. And we're going to look at him here in the last 15 minutes as the good shepherd. So let's look at a good shepherd, and then we're going to look at a bad shepherd, and then just for a few moments, I'm going to look at the good shepherd. A good shepherd. I want you to think just for a minute. I mean, Jesus here tells these people, I am the good shepherd. Now, I've already told you some things about a shepherd. What makes a good shepherd? What makes a shepherd? Now, again, boy, that he abided. Was it important that he abode in the field with those sheep? Was that important? Absolutely. He cared enough to stay there. It would have been easy for him to say, listen, okay, you sheep are all taken care of. I'm going to go to a comfortable place now. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to go somewhere else. That wouldn't have been a good shepherd, because it was at that time when they needed the protection. By the way, the good shepherd is so good because the sheep are so vulnerable. But yet he stands out because he's so good. A good shepherd, certainly in these times, cared for his sheep. Cared for those sheep, and in fact that he really did give everything to those sheep. And I would say, as I did some study on these shepherds in Bible times, they really did care for those sheep. It wasn't something they did just as a job. They had the sheep in mind, because they would have made some different choices if they had not. So a good shepherd would care for his sheep. A good shepherd would be willing to stand up and fight for his sheep. Be willing. I mean, we know some stories in the Bible. Where's the story of a shepherd that would be willing to stand up for his sheep? You all are going to say the same one. We got David, right? What did David do when the bear and the lion came? Of course, he slew them. He stood up. You know, would David have been a good shepherd? And honestly, if you would have asked the Jewish people about a good shepherd, they probably would have referred to, well, there could have been a number of people they could have referred to. They probably could have went back to Abraham. They certainly lifted up Abraham. They could have went back to Moses. Moses was a shepherd for a long time in the wilderness. They most certainly would have went to David, right? Because David was a good shepherd. And one of the things that made David a good shepherd is that he abode with his sheep and he protected his sheep. And the story goes that he did, that he stood up with the bear, he stood up with the lion, and he killed those sheep. He was a good shepherd because he was willing to fight for his sheep. The good shepherd was a good shepherd because he loved his sheep. And most importantly, were willing to give his life for the sheep. The stories are not necessarily told in the scriptures, but when you look at literature around this time with these Jewish shepherds, it is very clear that these shepherds were willing to give their lives for their sheep. And many times there were shepherds that died fighting that wolf or fighting those robbers because his life was worth protecting those sheep. Folks, that's what made a good shepherd in Bible times. That's what made a good shepherd. Now, these people were very familiar with that, and Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the one that does all of these things. You know, my dad was a good dad. He was a good leader because he genuinely showed his care. When I was hurt about something, and by the way, my mom cared a lot for me as well. I don't leave my mom out. She had her other strengths, but both mom and dad cared, but my dad really, he genuinely, if there was a strong point, you could tell that he really cared. They cared about both. Both of them cared about everything, but he cared. You know, an individual can tell when you care about them. There's some, would you agree that there's some sort of an attraction when you can tell that somebody cares? As parents, we've said this over and over again. When somebody new comes into our home or our ministry and they show our children care, there's more of an attraction for us to them than if they hadn't. One of the things that we look at, and we don't examine them and we don't maybe try to be critical of them, but we get missionaries, evangelists, preachers that come into our church and they spend time with us, and we do things with them throughout the week. We eat with them and we spend time fellowshipping with them and doing activities. And I will say we've had both. There are some that will come and they'll give our kids attention. They'll sit with our kids and they'll ask them, Ezekiel, what do you like getting into? And show me this and do that. And Symphony and Malachi, Nehemiah, Shalissa. What? They spend time with them. And I'll tell you that Melissa and I are attracted to those people. They're going to have a lot of things wrong with them, but we're attracted because they show care. They love our family. And I will tell you this, and I won't give any names, but there have been other preachers that have come in here that have not given our kids zero time. We've sat around the table, and all they care about is telling us about their ministries, doing this, and they'll talk to me. They might talk to Melissa a little bit, but they don't even look at the other end of the table where the kids are. I want to tell you something. That means something to me as well. The care wasn't there. And I think that we would all agree when there's care, there's some sort of an attraction. We like to be around people that care about us. Now, here's a dumb illustration, but Ezekiel in our home does really well with our cats. All right? No, we're not cat people, but we've got cats. Biggest reason is they get rid of mice and chipmunks, okay? And we battled them years ago, but we don't battle them anymore, and we have a few cats. When those cats were little, I would say of the whole family, Ezekiel had a way with those cats. And the reason is because, like some others, he didn't run up to them, grab them, and, you know, and pull them around, and, hey, look at my cat, you know. And I'm thinking, put that thing down, because they're not going to like you if you do that, you know. But Ezekiel didn't do that. Ezekiel was very gentle with the little kittens when they were very little. And he would go and he'd be quiet, unlike the others, and be very, very, very careful. Stand there for a while. When it gets a little comfortable, reach out your fingers for just a little bit and do that. But yet, if there was one that the cat would go to, who would it go to? It'd go to him. Why? Because he showed care. And what happened was those cats came to trust him that he's not going to grab me. He's not going to throw me. He's not going to kick me. He's going to care for me. And he would be the one that would have, if I could say this in a very loose way, those kittens' hearts. Because he showed care. He showed care. That's what a good shepherd does, shows care. The patient endurance of the shepherd through danger, heavy rains, robbers, wolves, snow, wind, sand, heat, loneliness, all a part of the shepherd's life. One, the sheep, made him a good shepherd. Now, what about the bad shepherd? Who, it's not referred to, this other shepherd in John chapter 11 here is not referred to as a bad shepherd. What's he referred to as? The hireling, okay? As you look down here, we see the hireling. This is the one that helps take care of the sheep. But there's a difference between this hireling that comes in. This is one, he certainly didn't own him. Now, I will step back and say, a lot of times the shepherds in Bible times weren't necessarily the ones that owned them, but they acted as they owned them. They were theirs. Now, the individual in this passage, in John chapter 10, is the referred to as the hireling. So there's something, it's kind of like the opposite. Here's the good shepherd, but the hireling. Okay, so we're looking at it as the opposite side, the bad shepherd. What does it tell us about here? What do we know about a bad one? First of all, he doesn't own the sheep and he doesn't respect them as his sheep. He cares more for himself. He cares more for himself than he did his sheep. You know what? When it was cold outside, the hireling was quick to go in and to get warm. When there was a storm, he's going to get out of the rain. When the robbers came, he was going to run because I don't want to get killed. These robbers are going to kill me. You see, there is a difference, and many of those hirelings had this sort of mentality. And so we see, he talks about this. Notice in verse 12, he says, "For he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not," so he doesn't own them, "seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep." Okay, this is the bad shepherd. This is the one that's not right. He's going to leave and flee, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So he doesn't own the sheep. He cares more for himself. He runs away from difficulties. He loves himself and he works for his own benefit. That guy is the shepherd that is out there, that he's just doing it to get his paycheck. He has no concern for those sheep. He doesn't care. He cares for himself. Now, let me stop. Have you ever had leadership that seems that way? They are in it for themselves. They don't care for you. They don't care about your work conditions. They don't care. There's a lot of bad human leadership this way. In fact, it's very typical of a lot of human leadership. They are concerned about themselves. And I regret to say there are a lot of pastors that are this way. They're in it for themselves. A lot of some of these big name guys that are in it for their money, they're not caring. They might come across it there, but they're certainly doing things for their own check. What a dreadful thing. And God help me never to be like that, that we would care for other people. This is the hireling that doesn't care. Let me go back to the cat illustration, and this has nothing to do with my children. One time we were looking for some cats because we didn't have the cats and we had our problem. We needed to get some cats, and we had somebody come, and I looked around for somebody that just had some cats that would be good for the outside, take care of mice problems, whatever, and I found somebody that had some cats, and this individual came over, and they brought some cats. And you know, there was this story along with these cats that I don't know that I'm going to be able to get rid of these precious things. I don't know that I'm going to be able to part, and I've had, this, and I don't remember all the words and all this, but the impression was like, wow, this is going to be a sad time for this person. But we could tell when this individual arrived there that there was no relationship with these cats. In fact, it was like, in the cage, it was like, one got out and was under the car and was like, looking at me and like, I wonder how we can get them. And the cat's sitting there like, I'm not coming out. and we're starting to think about this story that was given to us, like, boy, it doesn't seem like there's much of an attachment here. In fact, it seemed like we were going to be offering them a much better home than what was there. What's the point? See, obviously, there was a difference between what Ezekiel did with the cats and what this other individual did with the cats. These cats had no connection with that individual. at all. And we were just, in their minds, a dumping station for these cats. But I want to tell you something, that this is the difference. You see, the difference, I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind here as we look at the Good Shepherd to close, that a good shepherd is one that's developed a relationship and really cares, and a bad shepherd, one of these, is all in it for themselves, has no connection. They're doing it to make their money. Now, as we close, I want you to see the good shepherd, not just a good shepherd. I want you to see the good shepherd. We see here that he owns these sheep. He has purchased these sheep. In fact, if you go down to verse 27, we see that the sheep are his. Now we can start referring to this illustration as we and him. Because now we're talking about the good shepherd, which is Jesus, and we are the sheep, right? We know that he owns us. You look down at verses 27, 28, 29. My sheep hear my voice. And you can't pluck them out of my hand. There's a possession that is there. He owns us. Through his own self, he purchased us, but he owns us. We see that he cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep. Even in my illustration of the word good. Kalos, he's good to them. That he's the good shepherd. He gives, and I could step back now and I could ask you, how is God so good to us in giving us everything? And you know, you look at the illustration of the shepherd. I'm so thankful that God dwells with us. You think about the name of Jesus, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. We don't want to talk about somebody that abides with us. It's Emmanuel. It's Jesus. You know, and in the Thomas illustration, Jesus is saying, here I am. I am the good shepherd. I'm not going to leave you. My friend, I want to tell you something. It's a blessing that Jesus is never, ever, ever, ever going to leave you and say, you know what? I am tired now. I've got to take a rest. Sean, I'll come back to your problems in the morning. I'm so thankful for a good shepherd that he abides with me. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go to a more comfortable spot. He said, I'm going to go to somebody with less problems than you. You've got too many problems to deal with today. I've already had enough from you. The good shepherd doesn't leave the sheep ever. He abides there. He's going to stay. He's going to stay out there under the stars, he's going to stay under the clouds in the rainstorm, when the sand's blowing, when it's hot, he's going to stay there and abide. My friends, I want to tell you, that's the good shepherd, and that's what he does for us. He's not going to run away. He is the good shepherd. He stays right with the sheep during physical times. You see back, you see down in 28 and 29 of this chapter, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Right there, right in his hands. I'm mindful of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have a good shepherd. This is something that we're not, you know, life, we can say, you know, I've lived by myself. If you're saved here this morning, I want to tell you that I am never leaves. He's with you. He's not going to go anywhere. You always have him. People say, but nobody is with me. I'm all alone. You know, when I go to work, I'm by myself with all those other individuals. Or I live, you know, I'm the solo individual in my home that cares about the things of, you know, and we isolate ourselves. Even as Christians, sometimes we say, there's nobody else like us and there's no other churches. My friend, I want to tell you, it doesn't really matter because the self-existent one, I am, is with us. Do you know that should be enough for us? I am with you. I am the good shepherd. In other words, I'm not going to go away. Yes, everybody else, all the other sheep might go away, but I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be here. We see that he loves us. We get that from the word know. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Now I want to be discreet with what I say, but this word know is the same word that is used in other parts of the New Testament. Well, even the Old Testament it would be a Hebrew word, but in the New Testament, do you know what I mean when I say, and he knew his wife? That is an intimate relationship that a man and a woman would have. Now, in this case, it's not physical, but it is an experiential love that is so much greater and so much deeper. God knows. That shows us that He loves us. He knows us. He's intimate with us in our lives. That means He cares about everything that you're going through. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Nobody else cares"? Can I tell you that the Good Shepherd does? And sometimes we go, remember, He's the self-existent one. That means I am. Do you like when other people care about the things that you're going through? Yes. But can I tell you, they are not the one that matters that cares. I could have all of you caring about a difficult thing that I'm going through, but if I didn't have Jesus, it doesn't matter that much. But I do have Jesus, and that makes all the difference. He's the one that cares. My friend, you might be out here and you say, "I'm good, Pastor, I'm going through a difficult time." And you're in good company because Jesus cares. I am the Good Shepherd. He knows His sheep. He knows them. He's intimate with you. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows everything you're struggling with. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what makes you sad. He knows what makes you fearful. He knows what makes you anxious. He knows what troubles you. He knows what's gonna cause this problem. He knows all of that, and in a positive way, He cares about that. He cares. He cares about your temptations. He cares about the struggles. He cares about the difficult work situation. He cares about the tough home situation. He cares about the addiction. He cares about what you're trying to get victory over. He cares about all that stuff. And He shows us that by saying, "I am the Good Shepherd. I'm the Good Shepherd. I care. I know you." And at last, but not least, and the greatest of these things, we see that He gave His life for us. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for His sheep. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." I think that's Jews, Gentiles. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." There's the mystery. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Here we see the sacrificial, willing, substitution, unconditioned, specific love that Jesus has given to us through giving His life. My friend, it doesn't matter if no one else cares. It doesn't matter if no one else is there. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, is there and He cares, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. He's completely met your needs by being the Good Shepherd. The song, which we're going to sing in just a moment, just the first verse, says, "Does Jesus care?" What's the answer? Does Jesus care about what you're going through? He does. And the neat thing is He's already been there. He's already been there. He knows where you're going. He knows what to do. He knows it all. He's there. Remember, the timeless Jesus, "I am." You can be encouraged because you're getting ready to embark into something. He's already been there and done that. He's already been there, and He's walking you with you through that. He cares. And that's why, if Jesus is the only one, I don't think there's anybody like that in the room, but if Jesus was the only one in the face of this earth that cared about what you're going through, guess what? It is enough. Because He's the I Am. And can I tell you from another perspective, that's all we ought to care about, really, is that Jesus cares. Because if He's the I Am, then it really doesn't matter about everybody else. I know that Jesus cares, and so I can go through it. That's how we can be, if I could say, practically complete. Is that when I know that Jesus is good enough in my life and I don't need everybody else and all their care, because I know that Jesus cares. And on a side note, we can thank the Lord for His salvation that He provides for us in giving His life. You know, it was willing. He says, "I lay my life down." He gave His life. It was sacrificially. He could have kept His life, but He gave it. It was substitutionally. You were the one that deserved it. It was unconditionally. It doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you were. And it was specifically you. It was you that He cares about. He says, In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Father, I thank you so much that you're the good shepherd. Lord, I thank you that you abide. Lord, I thank you that you guard and watch and you're willing to fight and defend. God, I'm thankful for what you do with the enemy, the devil, Satan. Lord, I thank you that you defend us. Lord, I thank you that you're there in the night when we're most vulnerable and that you don't leave us. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your protection. Lord, I pray that we would look at the Good Shepherd in a different light. Thank you for the illustration of the shepherds that help us with the Good Shepherd. Lord, help us to be encouraged this morning with the Good Shepherd. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they would take the work of the Good Shepherd as he gave his life down for us, Lord, that we would have it again. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to sing that song, 491, just the